Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Broncos defeat the Raiders 34-10. So the game opens and you're going, oh no, it's a disaster. Broncos are going to get absolutely pumped here. They haven't switched on. They're at a 40% completion rate. Then they just go, oh, you know what? We might score a few tries. So they're leading 10 minutes later. So you're 15 minutes in. 10 minutes later, they're leading 18-0 and they only had 44% possession of the ball. And matter of fact, according to Fox's stats, in the first half where they were 20-0, 24-0 up or whatever it was, they only had 44% possession of the ball. They are the most bizarre team to watch. I'm sure their most bizarre team to play and most frustrating team to play. Their ability just to go, oh, you know what, we need to just turn it on here and just turn it on is seriously, I can't remember the last time I've seen a team play the way the Broncos do. What a great performance with the players out. Like, yeah, okay, they probably should have won by more. Yes, they missed opportunities in the second half. But at the same time, like, you're missing Reynolds, you're missing Haas, Piacora. To win a game like that against the Raiders that have been pretty red hot for the year, it's a bloody good win from the Broncos.
It's such a frustrating team to talk about because, you know, I walk away from form so they can go, well, you can't beat the top teams like that. Well, they do pretty consistently. And, you know, you also go, oh, but they were missing this guy, this guy, this guy. But when this guy, this guy, this guy are here, they do the same fucking thing anyway.
Yeah.
They're just such a volatile side, but they're comfortable doing that.
Yeah, they just don't mind it. What do you think of the game, Timmy?
Yeah, well, as the old saying goes, you're only as good as your last half of football. And the Raiders won the second half 10-6. tough one to watch as a Raiders fan. You're right. Like, it's hard to, whether win, lose, or draw, it's hard to be critical of the Broncos because chancing their arm, throwing the ball around, throwing shit offloads, completing 65%, that is the way they play. They use the footy, they chance the arm, and they're not going to complete. We say it every week, they're not going to complete at 85, 90%. If they do, they'll never be defeated in a game of football. And yeah, we literally saw them in a grand final blow one of the best teams we've ever seen, if not ever, in the Panthers off the park for quite a lengthy period. They can do it. So it's like when they do make mistakes, you sit there and go, how do you critique it?
Yeah, it's super hard. Because I could sit here and be like, they need to complete higher. Imagine if they did. You know, we've seen what they can do when they... But at the same time, it's like, well, they're killing it. Like, they've got key players out. They managed to win the game convincingly before the game was even at half time. The game was essentially over. So it's just... You put it this way, if we say that, we're going to be here every single week saying that because this is what they play like.
And you've already said it, Kempy, in the last game when we were talking about Manly. They can chance their arm because their defence is good enough to do it and it backs it up.
Yeah,
they've got insurance for when they drop the ball.
Yeah, so they give themselves the foundation to just go. And so, like, my head wants to say, Reece, like with Reece Walsh, mate, those first few runs, like, what are you doing offloading, throwing hospital balls for knock-ons and... But then literally 2 minutes later, he'll score a 60-metre try. And you go, well, I'm the dickhead. If I'm sitting there critiquing Reece, then I'm being the dickhead. So it's you just got to cop it, I guess. Like, and I'll never forget being in the coach's box watching them play the Eels last year, and he had this. He was out the back play, and like pretty much all of us were murmuring like, "Don't pass the ball, Reece." And he just went, "Fuck, bang, 20-meter cutout, and we score." And we're all just like, "Well, I guess, sweet." It's actually mental.
But at the same time, you know, like I sit here and watch the rest of this competition. It feels like to me the vast majority of other teams are just trying to copy Penrith. I love that Brisbane are just Brisbane.
Yeah, I do. Like, I love the courage they have to go, no, we are just going to play footy the way and trust that we are tough enough in defence to keep ourselves in the game. I mean, even the grand final, when they had, I think their completion rate was like 40% as well. But they just defended their arse off for the first win. Now, did it cost them in the end? Yeah, it did. But we have to remember, we're talking about the greatest ever team put together pretty much. Yeah, really, really good. And look, the most exciting thing for me out of all of the pizzazz and the flariness, but it's the forward pack going up against the Raiders forward pack and going, honestly, saying there's levels to this, really. And that's coming, like I know, like Tarpane and Papali'i, you know, they're top tier for sure. And they've had big games and they've dominated Broncos before. But in this specific game, that pack got completely dominated. And it wasn't even close.
I didn't go into the game expecting the Raiders to win. Like, I was tipped the Broncos. But I thought, you know, with a bit of rain around, a bit of wet weather, I thought with, you know, Payne Haas in particular out and a few other forwards out, with the Raiders pack, I thought at the very worst it'd be tight because we'd turn it into a grind. Our forward pack, hopefully get the upper edge on the Broncos, and we did not.
I punted on Raiders with the Lions, 7.5 start, and anytime Trevi Stewart, anytime try scorer. I was genuinely shocked at the fact that I thought your forward pack I thought they were going to go into that game and take it upon their shoulders to go, this Broncos pack, everyone talks about how great they are, you know, everyone loves them, they're the high flyers, let's go and like shock the NRL and show them that we're the big dogs, because you have the big dogs to do that.
Yeah.
Tarpane, Papali'i, Hudson Young. Unfortunately, it definitely was an off night for that forward pack, because I can't remember the last time the Raiders forward pack just got completely outplayed by a forward pack who, A, has lost a couple of people this year, but also was missing two starters in it, which is quite surprising.
I mean, outside of Joe Tarpane, like, none of the numbers read good for any of them as well. And I also thought it was interesting. I think Morgan Smithy's only played 45 minutes in this one. Like, I don't know how you boys read it, but I, like, because you got out to such a big league, I almost reckon Ricky Stewart went, fuck, maybe I'll take this opportunity to give him a little bit of a spell.
I think definitely.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
If it's tight, he keeps playing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no – why keep a bloke on that you know, you're going to need at the end of the year to get bashed for no reason?
I love that from Ricky, that he sees that, because a lot of coaches don't. They send him back – they're down by 26 or whatever, and they'll send him back out there. Like, why?
Yeah.
Give him a rest.
Well, even Tarpane, 55 minutes, and Josh Papali'i, 46 minutes. Mm. When the game's over, that's when you send your bench on and go, boys, get a hit out.
Yeah.
Like, let's see what you're made of. Which they, you know, did to a degree. Sasangi obviously ended up playing 80 minutes. Trey Moody, 33 minutes, so probably longer. And then Solo, also 31 minutes, so probably longer than they would have usually if the game was tight. I doubt they would have probably got 60 minutes together. Mm. But let's talk about the Broncos. There's one play that I absolutely loved, and it's the big hit from Hetherington. So last week, Trevi Stewart running it hard and straight, and we love that. Like, as fans, we love that. It's so brave. But at least when I was coming through the Broncos, our forwards at the Broncos then would almost find that disrespectful, but as if to say, how dare you think you can run straight at us? Because why do you think Carmichael Hunt became such a dog at running the ball back straight? Because at training, if he ran like that at training, and the forwards that I was playing with at that time, if he ran like that, they'd be like, mate, we're going to put you on your ass every single time, because if you're going to run like that at training, you better be ready for full contact. And what I loved about that is Hetherington and Ricky have clearly identified that and said, like, almost, how dare you run it straight back at us? Because the forwards, as an outside back, you almost shouldn't be running straight at them. You should be, you know, stepping or whatever. And so for Hethering to line him up and go, nah, that's not happening on my watch, that's what your forwards, that's what you want them to do. You want your forwards to deter outside backs from thinking that they can just run directly at you. Because basically what the outside back's saying is that I don't think you're going to shot me. I don't think you're going to, you know, line me up and basically put everything into this shot. And that's what reminded me. The game was, I think at this stage, you know, Broncos are, you know, quite a ways ahead. And he said, no, not here on our watch, not this forward pack. We're not going to allow an outside back to run it straight and hard into us and not have to answer for it. And as I said, it's a part of a big reason why Carmichael was so tough in running that ball back, because he, you know, when we were at training, he would never be allowed to just get away with that. Like he toughened himself up to be able to do that. Also, obviously, he did it in himself, and that's why he is there anyone that ever ran the ball back as hard as Carmichael Hunt?
Nope. I don't think so.
Like, seriously, crazy stuff. So much so that Wayne Bennett had to tell him to, mate, you need to chill because you're not going to have a long career if you keep doing this. But that all comes, I said, all comes back to guys like Brad Thorne, Webke, Petro, Tony Carroll, Dane Carlaw, Corey Parker. Like, they would never, not they would never allow, but if they see an outside back running straight and hard, they're going to take their opportunity to absolutely whack that bloke. And that's what I loved about that shot from Cody Heverton and from Ricky.
I can just see within the next few years there's going to come a time where Billy Slater, where the Maroons have a few injuries or whatnot, and he's got to pick a jersey 17. He'll be looking at Heatherington and Plath going, who do I go with here?
Yeah.
I mean, neither will let you down.
Heatherington's an absolute battler. I thought outside of that one drop ball from that drop off from Paddy Carrigan, I thought he was really, really good on the weekend.
Yeah, he's had a big year. I think it's often forgotten because of how that grand final played out. But that tackle he made on Leota in the grand final last year, that could have gone down on, as one of the greats if it played.
It was an outstanding tackle. Yeah. And that's what he brings to the, you know, he's hard and straight and he, you know, can make some meters. But at the end of the day, like, his best asset is his defence. Yeah. And so, yeah, I absolutely... I love that from Heatherington. I really did. I did remind me of the old school forwards that would just never allow that. Never allow that. I mean, I've told the story a million times, but Webke, we had to do a tackle pad drill in a 10-metre radius, literally told me how don't you dare step, as if to say, like, I just got to run it straight at Webke. And that was set up by Wayne to see whether I would, you know, be a cat or not. So I just got GM for 10 minutes, which was great. It's awesome. So, yeah, I love that from Heatherington. On the flip side, I love the fact from Stewart that he kept going.
Yeah.
He kept going. Very easy after that shot to just go complete to water. And it wasn't the special thing about that shot, sometimes when you get hits like that, they actually don't hurt because you just go with the momentum of the tackle. You get put on your back. It doesn't hurt. You could tell that was a bone wrap because Stewart was fully committed to that. And so what I loved is he kept turning up. He kept having a go. But, yeah, from the Broncos' perspective, I love that from Heatherington. So, so good. Outside of that, in regards to good games from the Broncos players, who stood out for you boys?
Corey Jensen for me, mate. We spoke about him pre-show. God, he got through a lot of work.
Yeah, outstanding. And showed why he was such an unsung hero of the Broncos' run last year. Mm. You know, he just doesn't get talked about enough, but he does his job every single week. Every single week he's putting in good, high-quality footy and very rarely makes mistakes, very rarely. What about yourself, Timmy?
Yeah, just another underdog in Jock Madden who's come in and he's done a really good job for the Broncos with Adam Reynolds.
His kicking game was great.
Typified by his kicking game. It was outstanding. The bomb he put up for the MAM try, poor old Chevy underneath that one. Like, he's doing what Adam Reynolds does, and like I mentioned with Schneider before, you come in as a halfback, an organising halfback into a gun team. It's not that hard a job. Kick well, defend well, get your team around the park, but also easier said than done. And Madden's done it really well and hasn't looked out of place at all. So it must be very reassuring for you as a Bronco to go, all right, if Reynolds does go down, we still can go deep into this competition.
Yeah. I thought Ezra Mann was also outstanding. Selwyn Cobbo continues to impress at centre. Another bloke, I thought Fletcher Baker was much better this week. Bit of a negative, I thought Jaden Hunt was unfortunately not great on the weekend. And look, I wouldn't say it's unfair to be too critical of Hunt, but at the same, like, I'm sure when the season started, he wasn't sitting there going, by round 3 or 4, I'm going to have to be playing, you know, starting on the edge for the Broncos. So it's quite early in his development. You know, you can forgive an error here or there, but I do think that when you get these opportunities, especially if you're a battler back rower that's just getting through work, you can't afford to have those misses in defence. Like when that, I'm not sure who it was that just slid through. Sasungi just slid through. Like that was a really poor miss. I know he kind of tripped over, but it still is a miss. And then that drop ball with the line open from maybe Reece Walsh. So just little things like that. Now, again, he's a developing player. He isn't, you know, when we have our starting 17 and everyone good to go, he's not in our starting 17. So it's been really good development for him. But I think if there's one area that he needs to work on in his game, it's just that little bit of lack of concentration in big moments, which is understandable because he's at the start of his NRL career.
From the footy that I watched Jaden Hunt play at the Dragons, who I always really liked him. I mentioned him quite a bit last year. I just don't think he's an edge. Mm. He's all, every time I've seen him, he's been a middle forward who gets through an absolute stack of work. Maybe he is the best option out of the rest of their squad. You'd know better than me, but I just don't think he's an edge forward.
Yeah, whether he's an edge or he's not an edge, some of the errors he's made, like those errors are not where you play.
For sure, but I'm just pointing out, he's never been an edge. I find it bizarre that they've
got no one else. They've literally got no one else.
Wonder how that happens. Like,
I don't, like you look at the Capewell situation, you go, how did you get rid of Capewell?
You've got that many middles, and you've got, you know, Pika or Ricky go down, and you've got a potentially middle going to the edge. Is your next man up? Mm.
In saying that, I take it back. I'd rather them put him there than Pat Carrigan. So,
I just think it's and also he did trial there. He did trial there. So maybe it'd be very rare that you would train a guy in the middle and then just randomly put him in the on the edge.
What they out of necessity probably because they're like we don't have any other edge back rowers.
It's probably to be honest, it's probably the only way he got into the squad. When you think about it, because they don't need front rowers.
He's played four games this year on the trot. 66 minutes plus in all of them, 80 minutes on the weekend. On the weekend, you ran 47 metres. You're on 47, 33, 48, 60 metres in big minutes on the edge. Like,
so he's there to do a job, like as I said. And that's what I mean. Like if you're a battler, you just got to cut the errors out. But, you know, he's early in his career. He's developing. You know, he's served his purpose. He's got in there. He's done a job. Pierre Cora will most likely be back soon. And it's great learning curve for him. Great learning curve for him.
There literally isn't another second row forward in your squad.
That's why we're getting Gawasaki, Gajewski from the Cowboys we're trying to get at the moment. When you think about it, like letting go of Capewell, like shit, we could use Capewell. Anyway, is what it is. Let's get on to the Raiders. Look, unfortunately, devastating night and not just a loss. Fogarty looks like he's ruptured his bicep. You know, unfortunately, it's almost season done. Like, I don't see anyone that's ready to go to step up into that seven role with that side. Now, I would love to be wrong, totally wrong about that, and I would love Strange to just kill it. And maybe he can, but Fogarty has been outstanding for you guys. I just don't know how you replace him. I really don't know how you replace him. But injuries aside... really disappointing night for the Raiders. I am very, very surprised that they just got blown off the park when they had started the season so well.
So disappointing because we were doing so well. And I'm with you now, Kempy. I'm like, we don't have another game manager to come into this team. Mm. And it's like, hopefully Ricky can find a way, you know, with KO Weeks coming in. But with Fogarty gone. But again, it comes back to... relatively poor roster management in that you shouldn't be having one injury and going, oh, we're screwed. You should have someone like, mentioned Adam Reynolds went down, Jock Madden comes in, does a good job in the same role. We don't have someone that can play the Jamal Fogarty role. You've got KO Weeks, who's a fullback turned 5'8", who's been very unconvincing at NRL level so far. You've got Ethan Strange, who's terrific, but we literally had the conversation last week. I said, I think he's a centre more than he's a 5'8". We've got two out and out ball running halves. It's going to be really hard to replace with Adam Cook, who's played seven in New South Wales Cup and going all right. He's more of a manager, but also not so much. We're just really going to have to simplify our game plan, aren't we? Mm. We've got the forward pack. Don't use it at least early on for the first month while these two are getting their combination together. None of these big, expansive ball movements. Let's just belt down the front door, go through the middle, get a bit of second phase play, get Chevy sniffing in around the ruck. Get Weeks, get Ethan Strange pushing up for offloads in support. I just think it's going to have to be a simple game plan. In 4, 6, 8 weeks, hopefully they're gelling as a combination, start using the ball a bit more, but it's tough.
What's your brother up to?
Getting ready to put the green back on, I think.
Look, I understand it's hard to recruit for Canberra, but I mean, surely there's a New South Wales or Queensland Cup game managing seven out there. that could be a part of the squad.
Toby Sexton, get him down there.
Get him down there.
You know what's funny?
Would you loan? Would you be looking to loan?
You know what's interesting? Before this injury happened, I was looking at the Doggy squad and looking at the Raiders squad. The Raiders have too many forwards to know what to do with. They've got all these guns playing as well as Cup. And then you look at the Doggies who are desperate for middles and have Toby Sexton who can't get a start there. Give us Toby Sexton for the rest of the season. You can have one of our 1,000 middle forwards. Mm.
Well, they have traded before. Corey Horsburgh played for him for a little bit.
During COVID.
Yeah.
Get it done.
I mean, if I'm the Raiders, because that's going to be my next point. If I'm the Raiders, I'm absolutely looking to loan a 7 from someone.
Yeah.
Like, absolutely no questions asked. I'd be knocking on as many doors as possible saying, is there any 7 that you would like NRL game time with?
Bit of chat about Croft getting back over to the NRL.
Mate, whoever.
Well, the other thing is, with how good Connor Tracy's gone, went at fullback on the weekend, and the way Blake Taff came on the weekend, like, I wouldn't be stunned to see Blake Taff, should the opportunity present, get a start in the halves at the Dogs.
Mm.
Played a lot more in the halves. So I'm like, all right, if all of a sudden, I'm not saying this is the case, but if Taff has become the next half up to Hutchison, if Sexton has dropped down one more, why not?
I'd be absolutely, like, Sexton would be a great get for the Raiders right now. What do you got?
I was just going to say, like, there's been a lot of rumours for a long time that Ethan Sanders, who's the Parramatta Eels, New South Wales Cup halfback, I watched him play yesterday, went good. I've heard rumours that he has already signed. He's not going. I've heard everything. I don't know if you've heard anything, but...
Well, he's signed. He's just, we're trying to get the early release for... We're going to get him now.
Mm. He has signed?
Yeah, as far as I know.
Okay.
Did you check that, Matty, please?
It's mission impossible. Good luck. Mixed reports everywhere about that.
I thought he had definitely signed. Yeah, they were just trying to wrangle for... Because I think it hasn't even Ricky Stewart mentioned him and talked about him. Mm. Anyway, it's actually quite similar to the Eels situation, which I can't believe. Like, so they've got Saunders there, and he's clearly, I guess, not ready for first grade. And so to have a top 30 squad without a New South Wales or Q Cup level managing 7 as backup, like, that's bad roster management in my opinion.
He's not allowed to officially sign till round 6. It's now round 7. So I don't think he's officially signed yet.
Oh, because it's the clause that if he's like a junior or something like that, then they have till round 6 to re-sign him or offer him or something like
Correct.
It's similar to the Eel situation. Like, Dylan Brown is clearly not ready, or clearly not a 7. He's a 6 at the moment. Maybe eventually he could be a 7. And the same with the Raiders. Like, how do you not have a good battler 7 ready to go?
And you could... Look at a kicking game. So Danny Levi, not much of a kicker, not going to offer too much from dummy half. Ethan Strange, across 6 games this season, had a grand total of 86 kicking metres. KO Weeks, in 4 games in New South Wales Cup, had 280 metres, not a noted kicker of the ball. That is the huge concern.
I think it is also worth noting in defence of Canberra, like, they did have a second half back there, but unfortunately, you know, what happened with Troy Dargan in the preseason? Like, he would have been the guy to step up here.
Yeah, that's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Just heartbreaking.
Yeah, absolutely. God. Yeah, that's a fair point. Now, some positives. I thought Timoko, you know, a couple errors, but he worked his ass off. And I just love to see Tarpanair. Like, even though everything was against him, the forwards are getting dominated, he's still ripped and teared. Like, that's what makes Tarpanair. Doesn't matter whether he's, you know, got a lead on a team, whether he's dominating a team with his forward pack, or whether he's on the back foot. He steps up to the challenge every single time, literally every single time. But outside of that, if I'm the Raiders, I'm almost just trying to, like, put that aside, don't look at it, and just go back to what we were doing really good, which is high completion, tough footy. I know it's going to be hard without Fogarty, but just try to keep the energy and the morale up in camp.
Yeah, I'm not saying by any means the Raiders are on the Warriors level, but, you know, we were up pointy end of the table with the Warriors, and I mentioned with them, it's like, you can't get up every week.
Yeah.
And the Raiders has a bunch of battlers out there. We do have to get up most weeks for our wins. Wins don't come overly easy for us, or haven't in the past. They had a damn week. The Brisbane Broncos at Suncorp Stadium. It's bloody tough going, even with a few players out. So not overly concerned as a one-off performance, but the Fogarty injury does add a lot of insult to it.
Put it this way. The Fogarty injury is the biggest concern coming out of that game for me with the Raiders. Like,
even 3 of the first 4 tries for the Broncos came off kicks. I'm like, I can live with that.
Yeah, and also the Broncos are a team where things can just fall their way and just all of a sudden you're down by 20 points. Mm. Like, so it just, it sucks. Definitely not good enough. But there are ways to look at it of going, okay, let's just put that aside and refocus on what we're doing really well.
One more guy just to give her up to, mate. Matty Timoko. This is the third game this season that he's run for 200-plus metres without a line break.
Fucking so good.
You know, when you look at Sivatalakai last year playing centre, we're blown away every week that he was averaging 180 metres.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Is it center? He's averaging 175.
Yeah, geez.
So good. So good.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.